Genesis chapter 8, we're going to be studying verses 13 through 19. Genesis chapter 8, verses 13 through 19. Genesis chapter 8, beginning in the 13th verse. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you, your wife, and your sons, and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground, and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth came out of the ark, one kind after another. Let's pray together as we come to God's Word. Well, Father, we do thank you for this time in your Word this morning. We just pray, Lord, that as we study your Word and dig into it, that we would understand the truths that you have for us, how it applies to our lives today, and how we might live for you in and through this. So, Lord, guide us and direct us. Give us your strength, your peace, and your presence now. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question, and I want you to be honest with me. How many of you have ever thought about packing up everything and moving your family and all to some remote area of the world where you could get away from all the craziness that's around you? You just did.
Yeah, what insane person would do that?
Well, let me ask you, let's dig a little further into this. What are you looking for to do when you do that? What would you expect to find there? Better yet, what are you wanting to find there?
Better work.
Better work? Some sanity? Okay. Peace and solitude. Okay. Do you really think there would be more peace and solitude where you move to that would be different from the place you are at with just a different attitude of heart? Think about that. Sometimes God puts us in places where he says, "I know it's not pleasant here, and I know it's not peaceful, and I know there's not a lot of solitude, but I got a job for you here. I've got something for you to do here." See, you may have a new kind of life in the place you move to, but unfortunately, wherever we go in this world, we're still in a sin-cursed world, and it will have all the challenges just in different ways. No matter where we go, we are always going to run into ornery people. We are always going to run into bad situations. You could live out here in the mountains all by yourself, be driving home one night in a snowstorm and go off the road and get stuck and bury your car. It could happen. How we view these things sometimes is what makes more difference, because we live in a sin-cursed world. There's nothing we can do to change it. Only Christ can change the world. Well, in verses 13, I know you're trying to figure out, what in the world does this have to do with Noah? In verses 13 through 14, it says, "By the first day of the first month," Happy New Year, Noah, "Noah's 601st year, the water dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry." Well, last week we saw that Noah had sent out a raven, and then he sent out a dove, and then 3 weeks, after 3 weeks more time, he sends out another dove the third time, and this dove doesn't return. Then he begins to remove the covering of the ark, and we can only assume that it was part of the roof that he built on the ark, so that he could get up there and see better what was going on outside, what the conditions of the earth were. And this would be the first day of the first month of the 314 days after the flood began. 314 days of living in a boat with a bunch of animals and your close family. Now, you think COVID was bad. Being cooped up in the COVID situation, Noah could outweigh us all. But he looks out and he sees that the earth is fairly dry because the water had receded from the places that God, to the places where God had set them. Psalm 104 verse 9 says, "You set a boundary they," meaning the waters, "cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth." See, God said, okay, time for the water to be pushed back. But the land was, you know, how many of you went out in your yard like Tuesday or Wednesday? What was the ground like? Muddy and spongy, right? You know, would you want to take a whole bunch of animals out of an ark into that? No, you really wouldn't, because you could see that they wouldn't be able to survive in that. The land was still wet and barren, and it would not support the animals on the ark yet. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Wait for what?
For it to dry out.
Okay. Let's say it's not just waiting for the ground to dry up. Let's say there's something going on in your life and you just don't know what to do about it. What do you do?
You go to the Lord.
You wait for the Lord. You wait for Him to give you instruction. You wait until God says, this is what you're to do next. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." You see, what that verse is trying to tell us is if you were a worldly person, let's say one of the sinners got on the boat with Noah. What would be the first thing they want to do when they saw the ground dry enough for them to get off? Out the door they would go. Probably with their protest sign. They would be, you know, instead of waiting to be sure. See, if we test the Lord, if we ask Him, "Lord, show me in Your Word, talk to me in your truth, help me to understand what You want me to do next," and wait until we get an answer, we will never go wrong. We will never go wrong, because God will use the Scriptures, He'll use people that He sends into our lives to help us know this is what your next step should be. As James says in James 4:15, if it's the Lord's will, we will do this. We will live and do this or that. See, if we're walking outside of God's will, we can get ourselves in trouble. And Noah understood that. Noah, in obedience to the Lord, waited for instruction for what the next step would be. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In His word I put my hope." You see, Noah trusted God for what He had for him, trusted God for the salvation He offered up through the ark, and waited for God to say, "This is the next step, Noah." And then 57 days later, Noah saw that the earth was completely dry and that now they could start preparing, not go, but start to prepare for the next step of their journey into the new world. And now Noah looks upon the new world and he sees that they are about ready to go out into it. You know, why do you think we call it a new world? Was it a new planet that the ark had transported them through space to so that they could start? No. Was it the same world that Noah and his family got on the ark with rode out the turbulence of the flood until they landed at Mount Ararat? It's the same world. It was the same earth, but it was different from the one they had left behind. Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter 3:6, "By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed." You see, it was completely different from what they had left. Completely different. It was a sin-cursed world now. Because Adam and Eve messed up and sinned, the curses of God came upon mankind and upon the earth because we wanted to run our own way. And now, Noah and his family can come out into this kind of a world. The ark had carried them through this cataclysmic event safely. And they came through a year of God's wrath being poured out upon the earth because of mankind's sin. But they trusted God, taking Him at His word. And guess what? They didn't suffer that wrath. They did not suffer that wrath. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, this world that we're living in today will face judgment again. But we're not going to suffer that wrath. God has provided an ark for us in Christ to carry us through, to give us the salvation that we need. See, those who take God at His word, trusting Him for the salvation that He offers, they will not suffer God's wrath that is coming upon mankind's sin. Well, how different would this world be from the one they left behind? Well, it's a new world, but it's still one cursed by because of mankind's sin. We have to always remember that. The land they left behind was filled with animals and people and culture and society. Evil as it was, it had all those things. But it had been created a perfect world. A perfect world that sin had then corrupted. And now they look from the ark over the land that's about them, and it's a desolate wilderness. Everything seems different to them. The warm and gentle climate that they were used to is replaced. Replaced by strong winds at times blowing about them. And then think of the altitude where they landed on the ark. There would have been a cold chill in the air, not this constant warm temperature that they were used to. And even the sky above was different. Darkened by clouds rolling by from time to time instead of the pleasant, even sunlight that they were used to and the warmth of that. You know, we hear a lot about people who are suffering PTSI. And I call it PTSI because that's really what they're discovering it to be now. Post-traumatic stress injury. Because post-traumatic stress is an injury to our brain. Okay? Now, think about Noah and his family. As they're sitting in the ark, and the clouds start to roll by, and the thunder and the lightning starts in the clouds, and then the rain begins to fall. What do you think comes to their mind first? Oh no, is it happening again? You know, the fear that must have been in them because of that. See, that was a reminder to them what the conditions were of the days of the flood. What was normal now in the new world was a reminder to them of the cursed world that God had poured out His wrath upon. Yet, the earth now seemed to have a simple purity to it because things have been washed away. All the wicked and all the evil that was there before was gone. It was washed away. They had a new life and a new beginning, but still in a sin-cursed world. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." You see, for us as Christians or as people who receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have an opportunity to start a new life in a sin-cursed world, to be a new creation. John in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, he writes, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as he is pure. You see, Noah and his family will be coming off onto the ark, off of the ark, into a new world to live a new life, separated from the sin and the sinfulness that was behind them. Now, they would just have nature to fight against, not their sin nature to fight against. How much of the earth is covered by water?
No, that's not right.
71%. I'll help you out. 71% of the earth is covered by water. And the oceans hold about 96.5% of all the earth's water. That's a lot of water. Okay? Think about what this new world would have been like to Noah and his family. The oceans would have been much bigger than they were before. And now, they would hold the water that had been under the earth in the springs of the deep, as we talked about last week, as well as the water that had fallen from the sky, from the vapor canopy that was over the earth, causing that greenhouse effect. And if all the oceans were bigger, then the inhabitable land masses would be what? Smaller. They would have been much smaller. And there would have been great temperature changes around the world now, because that vapor canopy that kept an even temperature all over the world had been drawn down. This meant that there would be snow and ice to contend with. I bet you God had them land on Mount Ararat in like spring before it started snowing, so that they had plenty of time to get off. Now, their polar regions would begin to build with snow and ice upon them. The landscape had even changed. Now there would be high and rugged mountains. There would be deep valleys and canyons from the sculpting of the water as it ran off the earth into the oceans. Now there would be places unfit for habitation. The climate itself would have been so different. There would be wind and rain and snowstorms, making life more difficult for them as they started out. With the vapor canopy gone, they would go out to work or to play, and they could get sunburned now from the harmful rays from the sun that are now able to get through the atmosphere, bringing all the ill effects with them on life, even shortening the lifespan of people and of animals because of its ill effects. There would now be great rivers and lakes and glaciers while the world seeks to find its balance between them. And because of all the earth movement from the flood, along with the collapse of the subterranean caverns that we talked about last week, and the volcanic eruptions that were going on, there would be instability in the tectonic plates, causing earthquakes and more volcanic eruptions, even as we see today. You see, when we look at things through the lens of Scripture to the world today, we can say it makes sense. It makes sense. See, the landscape itself would have been a reminder that sin had corrupted and destroyed the previous world. And that it had marred the world that they were living in that day and the world we live in today. As well, there could have been, as they looked about, there could have been rotting and decaying skeletons of animals and people here and there. What a reminder to them of what God had saved them from. What a reminder as they looked out and they see desolation all around them and things just beginning to grow, of how God had rescued them from that. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, Paul says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." You see, I know that Noah and his family, and you'll see next week, they had an appreciation for God rescuing them. Do we have an appreciation of Christ rescuing us? Then in verses 15 to 19, it says, "Then God said to Noah, Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it. So Noah came out, together with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth came out of the ark, one kind after another. Noah had waited faithfully to hear from the Lord. And the Lord speaks to him now and says, okay, it's time to make the next step, Noah. So God tells Noah, it's time to leave the ark. It was over a year that they had been in the ark, trusting God for the salvation that He offered, waiting on Him for that next step. Now they can go out realizing the salvation that God had given them from His wrath, that it was now complete. It was done. He was done judging the earth at that moment. Jesus says in John 10:9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Noah and his family and all the animals there, they could go out now and find that pasture that God had left for them, had given them. Just like we, when we will come into the eternal presence of Christ, that we will go in and out of the city and find pasture and find peace. That's one move that we will make where we will have that peace and that. What's the other word you had earlier?
Contentment.
That we can't find here. So all the animals and all the creatures of the ark depart to go out to multiply on the earth and fill it again. These would be the parents of all the kinds to come upon the earth. In verse 19, the English Standard Version translates this as families going out from the ark. So you get a sense, and this is from the Hebrew. The Hebrew is for families. You get a sense that, wow, already the animals have been reproducing. Already they had offspring that could leave the ark and start to repopulate the earth. So too, all mankind would be descendants of Noah, his wife, and his sons' wives. In chapter 9, verses 8 and 9, said, Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. All of us are their descendants. We are of one race, the human race. We are one people, all descended from Adam and then down through Noah and his family. The animals would go out and find suitable places to live and to exist. This would be where the land bridges that are coming upon the continents, connecting them together, would allow people and animals to move over the earth and find suitable homes. Who were the first people to live on our continent? In North America?
Indians.
The Native Americans? Do you know there were people that predated them? That if you start looking into some of the geological history, there are mounds and monuments built that predate the Native American cultures.
Would they be from Asia?
Huh?
Would they be from Asia?
They don't know. They don't have enough information about them, but they were here long before the Indians were.
Weren't they just predecessors of the Indians?
No. They somehow figured out there was no connection. That these people came, built their societies, and from what I understand, they were pretty intelligent societies. And as their society died out, then the Native, what we call Native Americans, moved in, and they planted their societies on top of them. Yeah. You know, all of this. What do you call a coincidence? Huh? Someone said something. Divine, yeah. The providence of God. There's a quote I'm going to read you from Henry Morris's book. He says, There have been computer studies that have concluded that the geographical center of the Earth's land masses is located within a short distance of Mount Ararat. What a coincidence that the center of the earth is right there near Mount Ararat, and that's where all the peoples of the earth would have wandered off from. What a coincidence. Why are we having, for those of you who live around here, why are we having such a problem with wolves and grizzly bears spreading so quickly? And don't say ranchers don't have enough bullets. Okay, we previously couldn't hunt wolves, and you're not allowed to hunt grizzly bears, but what kind of competition do they have out there for their territory? Next to none. Well, think about this. All the animals that came off the ark would enter into a fresh new world where they would be able to increase in number quickly because there's no competition for the territory they're taking over. And so they would have offspring, and their offspring would have offspring, and their offspring would have offspring, and they just keep moving out further and further. That's why we have grizzly bears in these mountains and now in these mountains. Because they're moving out further and further. I won't even talk about the wolves because they've been here for so long that it's crazy. You know, this spreading would quickly have caused them to create variations of their kinds. The kinds of animals as they adapted to the new areas they lived in or dying off because they couldn't adapt. Their adaptation would be within kinds, but never changing. No one has ever found one kind changing into another. Never. And that even includes dinosaurs. You like dinosaurs? Were dinosaurs on the ark? Yes. Okay. Do we find in history anywhere of pictures or drawings or paintings or carvings of dinosaurs on the earth after the flood? Yes. There's one right here. In the 1400s, there was a knight called George. They call him St. George now. And he came to fame because a king's daughter was to be given in sacrifice to a dragon. Okay, you all heard of dragons. And the king said, anyone who would come and rescue my daughter, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. Well, here comes this knight on his horse. And he comes and kills the dragon. And I don't know if he took the gal, his wife, or not, but that's kind of where the story ended. But in all of the art of the history of St. George, in every different country in Europe, there is a different characterization of what the dragon was. And every characterization matches a dinosaur, what we call a dinosaur. Everyone. To the nth detail in some of them. So much so that they're saying there's no way that people could have made up these animals. So what happened to them all? When was the last ice age in Europe? You didn't know you're getting a science lesson today too, did you? When was the last ice age in Europe?
A long, long time ago.
1500s to 1700s. Believe it or not, 1500s to 1700s. What kind of creatures are dinosaurs? Are they warm-blooded or cold-blooded? They believe they were cold-blooded. So what happens when an ice age hits a continent? They die off. It gets too cold for them to live, and they die off. So after the 1700s, there's no more depictions of dinosaurs in any of the art in Europe. So researchers are saying, and if anybody wants to look at this book afterwards, you can see picture after picture after picture of the drawings and the paintings of the dinosaurs that George was killing, and then what modern scientists today have remodeled them to look like and how they match. You see, all of these animals came off the ark because God said, I want them to go and fill the earth, to repopulate the earth. But we live in a sin-cursed world. But because we live in a sin-cursed world, things aren't perfect. And because things aren't perfect, many things go into extinction. So if you think about it, for all in all, Noah and his family and all the animals that entered into this new world, remembering it's a sin-cursed world because of man's sin, different from the one they left behind, but they had an opportunity to start over in life, to start fresh again. They had a clean slate with God. Now, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what do we have before God? Somebody say a clean slate. A clean slate. God says, because you took me at my word, just like Noah did, because you entered into the salvation that I've offered to, just like Noah and his family did, I will clean the slate for you. You are starting fresh now in me. There are so many comparisons that we could make to this new world that Noah and his family are entering and the kind of life they need to live now and what the life of a new Christian would look like in a sinful and dying world. And next week, we're going to go there and look at those comparisons and see how what they had to put up with, we have to put up with today because God isn't done yet. He is still allowing man to choose their own way, to choose Christ or to choose sin nature, to choose the world, until he judges the world again. And he leaves it up to us to make the decision. Will we choose Christ and avoid the coming wrath? Or will we choose the world and suffer it and be destroyed like all the people before the flood? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the reminder of the new life that you give us in Christ. Just as you gave Noah and his family a whole new life, Lord, in a new place. Father, same place, but a new place. So, Lord, we just ask that you would help us today to think about our life in Christ, whether we have that relationship with him or not. And if we don't, Lord, that we would just seek that out and figure out what that means for us and what the promises you have for us in that is. And Father, we just trust you to help us as we, for those who have made that decision to trust Christ as Lord and Savior, as we try to figure out how to make our way in this world, which is a sin-cursed world, Lord, and yet live the way you would have us to live. So guide us and direct us, Father. And thank you, Father, that because of what you said in your word, because you were there and you saw it, and you had it written down for us, Father, that it all makes sense for what we see in the world today. Help us, Lord, to be people who trust in your word and give you the authority over our lives and not man. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.